Welcome to Adventist Waves.
Welcome to Adventist Waves. I'm your host, Khan Elmers. On today's episode, we explore an artist's composition journey. Let's go back in time.
When I look at the Bible, I see that throughout history, God has had a timeline. If God is a musical God, Zephaniah says that God will rejoice over us with singing. And that makes me think God likes to sing. And he's the author of music. And his second coming is musical. And he will sound the trumpet and harpers harping with the harps. And heaven has music. But then you see one of the main writers of the Old Testament, Moses. God instructs him, put the words of this law into music, and poet and musician, and he wrote a big portion of the Old Testament. Later, you see David, composer, another writer, a big part writer of a whole book that is songs, Psalms. And you see later the schools of the prophets. You see a reference of the prophets coming to meet Saul and Samuel saying, you'll meet the prophets. And with what are they coming? They're coming with harps and I think a flute and musical instruments. And the Spirit of the Lord takes over and they start prophesying. So is there a link between prophecy and music? That's a study for another time. But anyway, then you have Elisha. When two kings come to consult him, and he calls a minstrel, and when the minstrel starts playing music, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Elijah. And Psalm says, God inhabits the praises of his children. When the musicians in the Solomon's temple were in one, in unison, the cloud comes and fills the temple. Come with me, let's continue in the timeline. Jesus, in the Bible, you see he sings before the sacrifice, the great sacrifice in Gethsemane, a psalm. He quotes psalms. Basically, he's quoting the hymn book all throughout his suffering of the time. Then you see the apostles saying, redeeming the time because the days are evil, with psalms, later a verse says, and hymns and spiritual songs making a melody in your heart. You see the reformers coming more in the timeline, Luther, when they're going to present the protest that would, you know, start this Protestant movement, and he writes, a mighty fortress is our God, and great controversy, says, while he's going in the chariot, this discouraged, I don't know, governors or emperors or dukes, and he starts singing, a mighty fortress is our God. Music was part of what God used for the Reformation. You see others like Wesley writing, and you see the great Advent revival and hymn writers. And Khan, we come to 2024, and where do you see all over musicians, Adventist musicians popping up and sharing the gospel in music?
Christian grew up in a musical family. His grandfather encouraged him to play the violin and taught him when he was a young boy. He had a love for Jesus, but yet he faced a crisis in his music career. There came a point where he had to give up his dreams to become a performer because he didn't see how he could make a living from it. Later on, he realized that he could use his talent as a violinist to minister to people, and this led him to start Give Glory to Him and produce content to share on YouTube. You can check out their website and visit their YouTube page to listen to their music. You're listening to the Adventist Waves podcast. My name is Khan. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Buckle up, let's roll.
When I was 8 years old, it was the first time we had one of those cassettes for younger generation. Cassettes is a little box that had tape and had songs recorded in it. We don't have. It was the, what do you call it, analog era. So I had a little cassette recorder. That was the first time I composed a song with original lyrics in Spanish and one with scripture songs from Psalm. And I think I recorded also, yeah, my first sermon. That song, I think I used it for the appeal, and my sister helped me edit and include, record from my keyboard, I think, Jesus Joy of Men Desires from Bach for the appeal or something.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, that was the first song. But mind me, I had maybe two limiting beliefs. I don't play an accompanying instrument. I don't know how to rhyme. I don't do poetry. But here I had the songs and I shared it with my family. And they seemed like neutral. It wasn't much of a reaction. So I was like, see, there's no sense in composing if I don't play keyboard, guitar. My mom had tried to teach me keyboard and I thought I was dumb and couldn't learn piano because I just got overwhelmed with the notes and the theory and whatever. So it was like, why should I compose to sing a cappella melodies that people don't get? And when I was composing this song, I could even hear other voices in the refrain. Gracias, Jesus. Gracias, Jesus. Gracias. And I sang it. It was in Spanish. So I sang the different parts, you know. But I realized other people couldn't catch the vision of the song, that a cappella, naked melody didn't seem enough. So I kind of just left it there. So yeah, even in those early moments, God was preparing for the future ministry.
In most cases, our family influences our musical tastes. Christian was exposed to traditional and contemporary artists from a young age, which would influence the compositions that he was composing on his two-track recorder.
Those melodies that I composed for the first time, I don't know, maybe influenced by the music we listened at home. And I would say hymns. I mean, my parents heard King Harold, so men's quartet, more traditional.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again.
Some of Steve Green, songs for kids of memorizing scripture, classical. My parents listen classical. So I would say it was more the elements of a hymn structure, that song and that scripture song, that original song and scripture song that I composed.
Hmm. Maybe you could give one example of an early song that you remember hearing when you're growing up.
I remember especially Steve Green, Hide Them in Your Heart, I think it was the series. And it was scripture songs for kids, but not dumbed down. Some were fun, but others were just beautiful melodies. I remember, you know, When I Am Afraid, I Will Trust in You. Beautiful melody, this girl singing, and then Steve Green coming in.
When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God whose word I pray.
And they were strong melodies. And that's, I think, the key of a good song. Sure, jumping a few years afterwards, that first two songs that I composed, I don't know if there was a third one, but I can remember those two. We come down and I'm in Argentina and I get a guitar. I don't remember if it was borrowed or gifted, but I learned probably 4, 5, 6 chords, a few chords, a good bunch of chords. And my dad, for family worship, says, hey, I have a challenge or I have an idea. Let's bring each one a Bible promise that we'll memorize. So each family member brings a Bible promise. And his Bible promise, he composed a melody. And I thought, I'm going to compose for my Bible promise a melody. And this time I was equipped with whatever handful of chords. So I composed a song that I also remember the melody, also have not released it. I should probably work on those original songs and share them. That song, I remember, was from a psalm, and I can paraphrase it, was in Spanish. Even if I'm afflicted and needy, the Lord will think on me. Lord, delay not to help me. And just a promise that I composed, and this time I played some chords, I think D, A, C on the guitar, I think that's what I can remember. And I shared it with my family, and I saw that it had a different impact this time, a better impact with accompaniment. So there I saw the a cappella song doesn't seem to have much traction, but now when I share a little more of the harmony, people seem to react. And that's the beauty about music. Even if you don't understand theory, people can be impacted when there's a good arrangement blessed by God. at age 11, I didn't do much more that I can remember then. And something that I would like to say here, when you have sometimes limiting beliefs, you know, I do not play an accompaniment instrument, or I cannot rhyme well, so what's the use? I cannot compose. Sometimes you might be sitting on a minefield of something that God would love to develop, but because your thoughts, your low self-worth, just saying I'm not good enough, you're limiting yourself from just, you know, venturing into using the talents. And that's scary, but I would encourage people, something that I've said, I rather be embarrassed before men trying to use my talents than be called to account before God one day for hiding them. I just have one rather than 10 and comparing myself with others. Yeah, moving on later, I was studying violin, going to a private teacher. I shared this in the other podcast. It was like 10 hours in total bus. And I would listen to classical music, Brahms and different, just if I wasn't playing, it was listening. And on the way to taking lessons and back. And I was imagining myself composing. I just admire this Beethoven, Bach. And I would analyze with my non-formally trained brain, I wouldn't analyze the orchestration and how they would take the melody with some instruments and then other instruments would pick on, and how a song would change in color and character and intensity. And I would go through the streets imagining, you know, that I'm conducting and orchestrating something incredible. And it was such an admiration for people that had this ability of writing. And I heard that Mozart could compose vertically. I mean, if you have a score, you have all the layers of instruments. And from what I understand, Mozart could just go and one note for the violin, one note for the cello, one note for the flute, and just vertically compose. And I hear that he basically had no corrections. And I just, it was a lot of admiration, but not thinking I'm going to be composing.
To hear more about Christian's journey from this point up until he went to college, you can check out that first episode that we recorded together on Adventist Waves. One thing led to another, and Christian went to college to study health ministry. You know, I also went to the same college as Christian, and I was really inspired by his positive attitude and musical talent. During his time at Heartland College, he continued playing the violin and got into songwriting and recording. It wasn't until he went to Europe that his composition began to bloom.
I traveled to Europe to do my internship after college, and a friend of mine tells me, hey, you know, I am working on some song that they asked me to arrange or compose, and I use GarageBand. I was like, huh, didn't know you could use GarageBand for that. Now, here I think a mistake that God allowed it to happen. I didn't know she was referring to the computer software where you probably would need a keyboard and MIDI controller and know more things to create some music on the computer. So I got the app version of GarageBand, and I found out that on an iPod, I don't think they make those anymore.
An iPod?
It wasn't Circa One. It was, I think, the precursor. No, because 2012 iPhone came out. It was a tiny iPhone precursor, but it was made, I think, for music mainly and some apps. Yeah, and the cool thing about that for non-musicians is that you could put a metronome, record your voice, and later it had preset chords for the piano, motifs like, you know, just chords, broken chords, like arpeggiated going up and down the piano. Then you had strings, and it had the different chords, and you could slide your finger up and down, and that would make the crescendo, so increase in volume the strings and go down, and you could choose different things. I went mad with that. I was just like, wow, this is so cool.
Now we see that Christian was laying the foundation of his abilities to use the iPod. This would further develop, but there was one problem that he faced.
I wasn't active into composition. Like I shared before, I had this limiting belief, so I didn't see myself as a composer.
How would this impact his composition? That's coming up.
I think, tinkering with this in Europe, I attend a conference in Bogenhofen, and there's a youth event, about 500 young people, attend that event, just packed place. And the speaker, Jeremy Svica, he brings a song his mom composed, and he teaches at this song as theme song for the event. And all the young people are singing their hearts out. And I'm looking around and it's this thought struck me. These young people might forget the messages, the 1 hour messages, whatever, but this theme song with the melody, they can take home. And I kind of had this wild idea, if I'm ever invited to be the speaker in this event, I would like to leave that gift with the young people, a theme original song to leave with the young people. So during this time, I'm playing with the iPod, not giving much thought, go to this event, get inspired by Jeremy. Here I started getting inspired with this melody, a book by Ivor Myers, Prayer 90X. I believe that's where I started coming across this verse, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I think brought it to the surface of my mind, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I had that in my mind, and I was thinking how that promise applies across the board to every aspect of your life. If you think your devotional life, God says, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, how much closer I want to be. If you think your relational life, in everything, in your ministry life. So I started composing this melody, later put it on the iPod, recorded there and start orchestrating. And then I shared that, I think, with some of the students in the school I was working. And now I get a different reaction. It's like even more impact I see with some orchestration, just with the iPod. And interestingly enough, I am asked to be the speaker for the following year. I believe it was April 2014, and it was called Fit for Mission, Weekend on Medical Missionary Work. I'm tinkering with the thought of sharing this song as theme song, and the date is coming closer, but I'm like, what am I going to do? Am I going to plug the iPod? It doesn't even have an intro. Am I going to go like, sing with me and just, no, that doesn't make sense. So I'm still shy. I'm like still wondering, is this song even good enough? And I'm waiting before the event starts and they tell me we're going to put this hymn as theme song. I'm not even talking. And then one of the students in the school, she works with another student to arrange a song that this female student had composed. And that's when I realized, hey, you can bring a melody to somebody that plays piano and you can team compose. And this female student says, hey, I can help you and let's bring this song to the event. It's Thursday before Friday the event is starting. And she says, are we going to do it? And I'm like, okay, let's try it. She goes and she arranges almost the same piano arrangement that you hear in the song. When you go later, we added a key change, so it changes in key the song. And we taught it to the students, I think Friday morning or Thursday, I don't remember. The students in the school where I was working, and they were going to be my helpers to teach it to the whatever 500 young people in the event. So we go to the event and I'm still doubting, is it good enough? And we went there, taught it. There was a group of musicians. They learned it by ear. And at the end of the weekend, there was a group, you know, of 500 young people singing this song, the scripture song. And after this event, just young people or somebody writing to me and like, where's this song from? Or can we have sheet music? And I saw the impact it has.
Christian would continue to write inspiring music. However, he was there for 6 months and he began to feel lonely.
I had grown up between South and North America, so I thought I had enough cultural exposure. But all of a sudden, Germans and Austrians experience feelings more internally. So you don't know what sometimes people are feeling. They can be very in the outside, very hard to read, especially in religious circles in the church. They're afraid to be, you know, to like Pentecostals. So they feel more internally. Latinos more expressive and more, you know, if they're sad or angry. So I was feeling very homesick, like very like isolated culturally.
Find out how this impacted the next song he composed, Homesick. That's next on Adventist Waves.
Ah! Yeah, it's something fascinating to team compose, and there's different ways that I've had it in Europe. Simone was the student there that also had studied piano, and I would basically compose and record in my iPod, I guess, a melody, bring it to her. She would listen to it several times and start developing an introduction and some connections in the piano. And once she had a rough idea, she would bring it and we would polish it together. So it was really fun. That was at the initial, and we had some songs like the song Homesick.
How much more till that small cloud is seen? How much more till these words I can hear? My good and faithful servant, welcome into a place called home forevermore.
That if you go, it's also on our channel. That one we also composed, but in a different way. That one, I think it was more piece by piece, improvising and trying on the moment. The one I gave her the melody, and then she worked, and sometimes it's a creative part, like, oh, let's put some violin here and then come back here. And it's very, very creative process, yeah.
So here's Christian in the middle of a foreign country. He's on his internship, being away from his family and his college for some time. I asked him, when did you write Homesick? The answer was obvious.
Actually, the beginning of this song actually might have been before, when I was around 6 months, I think, in Europe. And I was feeling quite homesick. And my grandma one time says to me, did you see the avatar I put on Skype? And I look and it was my dog, Shadow, from South America that I had left when I went to college, and later my parents moved. It just brought like a sense of homesick, like flashing memories of the different pets and friends I had left behind, and wondering some of them I will never see again. And I just started weeping. It was like an accumulation of feeling homesick and just weeping and saying, oh Lord, how long until you come and take me home with you? And I'm kind of weeping, and I think I might have started recording this kind of prayer, questioning God, and song. And that's the first kind of sketch or draft. And later, and it's like God starts answering, Christian, how about my side of the story? You know, I long to be with my children more. I hear the cry of orphan kids, of broken, shattered souls. You know, my wish has been to have you home much sooner than you wish, but just as Israel of old, your heart turned back from entering in. How much more till you let go of sin? So the next two stanzas, you know, of God saying the table is set, mansions are done, the only thing missing is you, and I am hurting more than you, missing having you home. And that song, the sketch, got started then, but I think it was until 2016 when I returned to Austria, and I think that's when we finished the accompaniment and the piano. Coming back after Europe, I found myself in Oregon without people I knew, musicians, and I had developed this pattern of building a team, so to say, of musicians and leaning on them. And all of a sudden, I'm alone. And my mom had tried to teach me piano as a little kid, but I refused. I fought against it. And now I am till now like, Mom, why didn't you force me? I started teaching myself piano with a Rhett Thompson, I think there are books, and going and trying to teach myself. And I think it was like 5 or 6 months after I started teaching myself that I started like seeing how I could improvise and build chords. And that's when my mom's birthday was coming, and I had already, I think, in Europe started with a praying mom this song.
Never would imagine the influence on me she'd have. It was a praying mom that brought me before God's throne. It was a praying mom that wrestle with God for my soul. And I know I would be down some lost road and dark path, were it not for God's grace and a praying mom under a home.
I was in Europe in a concert, and it was, I think, in German, this song, and somebody was translating to me about this song in minor about a mother under a roof, and the full moon is out there, and she's, and you see through the window, I think it was the words, and she's kneeling down and weeping and interceding for her kids. And it just brought the memories of my mother, you know, and her prayers, especially in my time when I was about to throw the towel on my faith. And that's where a praying mom came from. And I'm here recording the song and saying I'm going to do the piano. So it took hours. My creative process for that one was first a melody and then getting into GarageBand and with a keyboard recording and making a bunch of mistakes, cutting little pieces, gluing them together. You know, if you know a little bit about MIDI recording and editing, you have all these notes and then you can cut them. But I didn't know, I think, how to sustain the pedals. So if I would cut the pedals incorrectly, and I think I found about that later. So it was a whole Sudoku or grade puzzle because of all the errors I would make. So hours of you know, gluing all this track together. But I got the track and the intro and recorded my violin. And during this time, I had heard about virtual instruments and orchestration. So I started to play around with that. And sometimes when you're not formally trained, I think you're not, you know, limited too much by what you should do or not do. So I was just trying things. And that was kind of the creative process for a praying mom melody, then doing the piano myself and orchestrating and even adding some backup vocals.
And then things started to change. In 2019, there was a global pandemic.
After that and the pandemic, it was when I started doing remotely. There needs to be a certain chemistry, I would say. I tried some on Fiverr, I tried some musicians, and there needs to be somebody that you have a good work relationship when you work remotely. And some take a lot of energy and misunderstanding, and it's not worth it sometimes, that amount of energy.
Find out how Christian overcame remote recording challenges next on Adventist Waves.
And the challenge was the tempo. Some pianists can follow freestyle tempo, so you just record on your phone and whatever you sing, then they play, they memorize your melody, and they develop an accompaniment also freestyle. But other musicians like to work with metronome. So those were some challenges tempo-wise, then musically-wise, lowering the expectation that everything will come the same result as when I'm with the musician in person and I can give more feedback. But I think it has brought variety, and some of the songs that you can see are the Roman songs. We've released some already on our YouTube channel.
We have been united in his death. We also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Now we believe if we die with Christ, that we shall also live with him, buried with him through baptism into death, buried with him through baptism into death.
And those I believe all of them were done remotely, where I would send the voice.
For if we have been united.
And then the pianist would work on the accompaniment. And I would say there's many levels of challenges that you need to overcome in that sense. And some is expressing, besides your melody, expressing what else do I envision? So writing down in words, what's the creative thought? And then for them to understand. But yeah, it's been a different challenge, but an opportunity as well, because I send the melody, get back from the pianist, the accompaniment, record my voice. And then already in the composition stage, sometimes I'm like, is this a big piece musically with orchestra, or is it a more intimate, simple song? Sometimes the process informs. So I get the piano and I'm like, this could use an acoustic guitar. So I talk with this guy that I found on Fiverr, incredible arranger.
The pandemic certainly slowed things down for Christian, but he found an innovative way to get around the problem. It was Fiverr. And Fiverr is a freelancing platform which gives you access to thousands of gigs from digital creatives who can pitch their services to you.
I'm like, can you do a layer of guitar? And then I can give him some ideas. Can you put in the spots, you can spot wherever you want, or you can just fill it in and maybe I cut out later. Then he sends me that and I'm like, could use a cello here. Cello, acoustic guitar. So let me contact this cellist, also a guy from Fiverr, phenomenal. And then expressing. Sometimes I'm like, go for it. Just follow the character of the song, whatever you're inspired. But many times, the majority of the times, is this is what I hear. Maybe some cello coming in this section, and maybe a climax and things building up in this section, and maybe something minimalist or long notes. So I try to, when I have something specific, to pour it out. And sometimes I'm just like, for this one, because I don't have time or not something specific, just let's see what you come up with.
That brings us to an end of this episode of Adventist Waves. Considering to try out music ministry? Now is the time. Use your songwriting talents for God. He will bless you. I asked Christian, what would you say to somebody who's looking to get into composition?
I would tell them I understand all the fears and doubts that they could be going because I went through them, but don't go for a masterpiece. It's better a something simple release than a masterpiece never release. You learn in the process, and you learn so much by doing and finishing something. So I would tell them, if they have a device, a phone, that's where I record the first drafts, then I know for some countries it might be too expensive, but on Fiverr I found a gentleman from Brazil that charges $30 a song to make a beautiful accompaniment, and you can go and listen to a song he arranged for my sister's wedding. And it's called The Best Love Story on our channel. You can go and check it out. So you can start with an idea, record it on a phone, and send it to somebody on Fiverr. Just step into the water. That's the hardest thing to do. Just step into the water, and that itself will encourage you as you start seeing what can be done.
And that wraps up another episode. A huge thank you to Christian for sharing his story. To hear more about Christian's music, visit his website at givegloryto him.com or check out his YouTube channel, and be sure to tune in next time for more inspiring stories from the audio world of Adventism. This is Adventist Waves. Thank you for tuning in to Adventist Waves. This podcast wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the support of Blue Vineyard Audio. Need support with producing your podcast? Blue Vineyard provides help from start to finish. Visit the website today at bluevineyard.com/audio. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you more inspiring content. This podcast was produced by Khan Elmers. Special thanks to our guest, Christian, for coming on to the show. You have been listening to Adventist Waves.
Adventist Waves.